This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 129 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, Tristan Cannell? What's up, guys? 129, we're bringing it to the table.
Yeah, we got Roe Singh, man. Roe Singh has been a huge influence on my life. I've known him since I was 7 years old. Family friend, he was married to my cousin back in the day, so his boys are actually my cousins, so he's someone close to me and someone I think that will bring a strong message today.
For sure. It's going to be awesome to our fans and yours, too, to get it, you know, just bring a little different dynamic, a little bit of a comfort level with you and your relationship with Ro. Everything he's done, you've watched him grow, he's watched you grow, and then he's also going to bring a whole new dynamic to our show, so we're excited to get this thing started and bring Ro to the show.
Yeah, just to introduce Ro quickly, he's been doing his thing in the corporate game for about 25 years. A couple of years ago, he decided to kind of flip that a little bit. He's created this happiness platform, which he sells out to big corporates. And really, his intention really is to create environments for workers that they can be their best selves.
For sure. Like a space of safety, a space of clarity. He's done great work with his show as well, the Leadership Show, and who he learns from, his giants he surrounds himself with. And his body of work, like you said, his experience speaks for itself. And the openness and awareness of what needs to change, I guess, in some work environments, and the simplicity of applying that. You know, he'll bring you a whole new mindset.
Yeah, the Vision Board breaks new grounds today. We're not going to tell you what it is, but about halfway through the show, there's going to be something that you can actually try and apply yourself at home. It's something that was new to both Johnny and I. And I think it'll leave you feeling nice and relaxed and really ready to tackle the day. But like I said, halfway through the show, so make sure you don't turn it off.
Couldn't say any better. Let's get this show started.
All right, there he's Ro Singh. But our special guest is Ro Singh. Ro is the founder and CEO of Populous, a management consulting company focusing on delivering impacting business strategies and wellness for his clients around the world. He's a creator of the Happiness Platform and host of the Leadership Show, while he also has 25 years corporate experience working in management positions across BlackBerry, Telstra, and Hutchison 3. We welcome Ro Singh. Ro.
Hey, welcome me. I welcome you.
Man, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, listen, it's a pleasure. Now, what you didn't mention also, Tristan, is that I've known Tristan since he was a little boy.
That's a great...
I've known him since 7 years old, man.
Yeah, let's lead... You know, usually this is the part of the interview where I would ask the guest what 2017 is bringing to the table and what you're currently, you know, projects you're working on, but I'm sure we'll get to that. Let's share with our audience and your fans listening a little bit about your relationship with Tristan.
Yeah, well, Ro has been a big brother, a mentor. Back a few years ago, Ro was married to my cousin Jennifer, which he has two children as well. My cousins, Ranjan and Vivian, two outstanding young men that we're both very, very proud of today. So for me, it's a great experience just because for me, Rose just a phone call away. We hang out a lot, and like I said, he's like a mentor. My dad, me and my dad are very close, but he's like a second sort of father figure for me. So it's always been great to have him in both company and as family as well.
We share a birthday too.
We do. Right? 13th of October.
That's
we
excellent.
We do. I've known Tristan since he was a boy. Always happy, always full of life. Even back then when he was just a little toddler, we connected. We had a lot of fun. I was a little bit older. I was a little bit different to everyone else out there. And I just had a lot of fun with Tristan. And his dad and I are really close. His mum and I are really close. He's just had a zest for life and someone who's just gave everything. I remember when he was refereeing, you know, it wasn't enough just to referee. He'd go out there and train harder. He'd get there early, you know, and he'd stay late. And he'd come and tell me all the stories, you know, when I visited him. And it was just a lot of fun. You know, so Tristan and I go back a long time. He's seen me come through my entrepreneurial stuff as well as all my roles around the world. So when Tristan hit me up about a week, 2 weeks ago to come and spend a bit of time with you guys, I was like, hell yeah, this is absolutely awesome. And as you know, Johnny, I've spent a bit of time with you as well and I've enjoyed that. I just love what you guys are doing. You're changing the world. You're following your dream. But mainly you're being real, right? You're being real. You're learning, you're getting out there and you're doing. Where most people right now, they would have seen 2-3 clients, they've been chilling back, Instagramming, you know, going shopping or laying back on the couch. You guys are doing a podcast and tonight you'll go and train more people. Then you'll cut the podcast and then you'll go and study, right? You'll just go, go, go. So I can already see it in 2-3 years' time. When this is just a phenomena everywhere, right? Mm. And as you know, as I've told you before, it takes the first 3 years as a grind, right? The fourth, you start to do well. The fifth and sixth, you won't know what to do with the money, right? And come the 10th year, you'll have to reinvent yourself again, right? A bit like your hair right now, Johnny. I love it.
Bro, man, I'm glad you said reinvent yourself. And, you know, when Tristan and I first partnered up over 18 months ago, July will be 2 years. You and I met for the first time, and I really want to touch base. You told me a story. We were walking through Martin Place, and you were talking about since you were a young dude, maybe in your early teens, you were, like, figuring out ways, an early school entrepreneur, selling things on the side, hustling, making your money. And could you talk a little bit about that upbringing and what that experience as a younger boy has taught you to where you are today?
Yeah, great question. Great question. I hear a lot about grit, resilience, you know, flow, all of these cool stuff today that's got this awesome terms that go behind it because we've had Harvard and other universities and professors find it cool, mindfulness, etc. This is the stuff that we grew up with, right? This is our bread and butter, right? So when I was in, when I was about four, I'm talking about this right now because I'm writing my book and I just wrote about this. At four, I moved on. I won't tell too much, but I'll tell enough. I moved on to live with my grandparents, my grandmother, who's highly loving, and my ailing grandfather. And there wasn't pocket money. Okay, my little sister was the favorite, so grandfather used to flick her a 50 cent here and there. For me, if I needed some pocket money, I had to climb the jackfruit tree. Okay, well, I had to go and cut the papayas. And at 5 and 6, you know, and 7 and 8, I'd already figured it out that people had a need for this stuff. And, you know, there were some fruits and vegetables that they all had. It was easy to grow, but we had certain fruits and vegetables in our property that other people didn't have. And I'd already figured it out. If I get those, the first 6 houses I'm going to go to, they'll all buy it. So I don't have to go around and around or go to the market and sell it. Plus, I was a cute little kid, right? So everyone said yes to me.
Very important part of business, the saying yes part.
So I learned that, Johnny. And then, you know, as I came to Australia, I think I was 10. I had my first birthday here when I was 11. And I got lucky. You know, mum and them started flicking me some money, etc. Then they had this business where we went into the markets and we started to sell fruits and vegetables, right? They were importing stuff. And what I learned really, really early, and if anyone wants real good training in terms of moving stock, do fresh produce, okay? Because you import this thing, it comes from Fiji, say, it's in quarantine, then you're going to get it, you're going to make sure your store it right, if not it goes off. That's 20 grand bank down the drain, okay? But if you store it right, then you position it on a nice stall, okay? And that's beautiful because your regular customers will come. They know you've got great service, great produce, right? They'll love interacting with you and you upsell and they go away. They have a beautiful meal and they remember you, right? Yeah. But to get that additional sale, the additional few sales, you need to attract people to you. So you learn very, very quickly they scent, okay? You have to have stuff that smells good, that draws people in that will normally just walk past. Then you have to have color. So if you've got your papayas, your mangoes, you know, your rambutan, you've got all these other different things, and you mix the colors up and make it look beautiful, right? Then you've got to project your voice, right? And everyone's just shouting out, how are you going to stand out different from the Italian guy? You know, he's got this huge voice. You'd be a little bit more different. You use your eyes a little bit more. You use your smile a bit more. So that training really positioned me beautifully for when I went into sales. When he mentioned I got married to his cousin, Jennifer, and we had our boys, I was 18 years old, right? At 18, when I look at my boys, right, life's very different. But I walked out of the family home with $76. I had to buy an engagement ring, okay?
How old were you then? He was 18. Were you allowed?
I would have been, he's 10 years older than me.
Oh, so you're 8. So you remember this, eight. You remember this fondly.
Yeah, because his mother-in-law at the time, Dan, she's my mum, well, my grandma's sister. Mm. So she used to look after me all the time. So for me, Jennifer was like, same thing, Jennifer's my mum's goddaughter. Yeah. So it was one of those things that we're all so close. We're at each other's houses all the time. Definitely. So
were you in Australia? Did you stay in Australia the whole time? Like from the time Tristan knew you? Was there ever this time apart? And because it has to be pretty cool for Tristan to see, and vice versa, the growth of both of you guys, especially since he was a young boy, and then you being a teenager, being a boy as well.
Hey, listen, we spent a lot of time together, but there came a period when I decided if I could make it in the corporate world. So I went across and I joined different corporations, and you know, taking my sales skills that I'd learned from guys like Tommy Hopkins, who's on our show as well, and you know, Tommy taught me some really brilliant stuff. And it was, I speak like I knew him as we sat together like this. No. All I had was CDs of the guy and books of the guy, but I felt like I knew him. Mm. And recently, when I just interviewed Tommy, we became tight. It's like father and son, right? And we're doing stuff together now. It just, it's amazing, mind-boggling. This man that I looked upon as, that shaped millions of lives, is now a buddy, a partner, that we're, you know, we're delivering the training programs to improve lives and, you know, success, etc., right? So I did that whole corporate thing for a while and did really well. I was very, very blessed. Ended up heading a good part of Telstra. And then I went overseas, again, blessed again. Got a great role with BlackBerry. We took them to about $3 billion with some transformations, right? So big bucks. Yeah. 10,000 points of presence, stores, right? Some big numbers, right? It's mind-boggling. But to me, it just feels like, okay, it's just another number. Right, so when I hear guys going off about this number, that number, I'm just like, let's just be real. Yeah. Right? What's important is integrity. Right? What's important is, are you living true to yourself? And I felt that I was having a great time, having great success, but there was another calling. And that calling was about this wellness space, you know, this mental, you know, ability to be able to sit somewhere where it's high, it's consistently high, and you're not having to take drugs or alcohol, you know? And when I hear beautiful professors talk about this thing called mindfulness and spirituality, right, and meditation, etc., I like it, but I also think, oh, my God, how dangerous. You're taking someone, right, and you're putting them in a beautiful Ferrari on this open road, right, magical road, but you forgot to tell them how to handle that road in that car.
Yeah.
Okay? Wow. And that's what we do. And so that brought me back. And for the last 3 years or so, I've been writing this book, been building this series of video programs. And, of course, we've been helping other companies transform their businesses, you know, to bring a focus where people's lives become the center or a key measure of their success. And, of course, profitability and shareholder returns, all of that still stays true. So Tristan and I have stayed close over the years when I visited. We've caught up, etc. I'm just thrilled to be seeing you guys. It's absolutely kicking ass, to be honest.
Right, well, before we move on, obviously we want to get deep into the leadership and also the happiness program. Just wanted to really ask you, just because you mentioned before becoming a father at 18.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, that mindset, when you first found out that you were going to become a father at 18, like, how tough was that, man?
I haven't really thought about it, Tristan. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
My son Ranjan, he was over last night. We had a great time. He was telling us some stories this morning, playing with Kim and I's younger son Arjun, who are really close. What did I think? I got straight into it.
Yeah,
I didn't really think. I just got straight into it. It was like any other thing that came into my life, you know. And when a baby comes along, it's joyous. It lifts you, okay? And you want to be the best man possible. At least that was me. So I went and got commission-only jobs, okay? Because I knew a normal Kmart job was, you know, not going to pay me enough to be able to buy his baby formula, his nappies, right?
It's like a natural risk-taking that kind of developed in it too, right?
Yeah, because some people would be in that scenario and the comfort level, even though it's $7 an hour, $9 an hour, whatever it is, at least it's something. You know, it's kind of like it as an 18-year-old to have the mindset of forget the comfort, let me take that risk. Was that something that was, you know, started since you could remember? Or was that like a developed skill of yours? Because as you could tell where you are now, you keep doubling down on that. And I feel it's an important part. Like a lot of people, at least I know, sometimes can get stuck.
Look, there's benefits in both, right? There's definitely benefits in both. And I mean, there are people who make a great living out of working for someone, getting paid a regular dollar, etc. If you're patient enough, you get to a level where it's paying you more than what you can do with it.
Yeah.
Okay. But if that's enough for you, for that stage, I didn't have a choice, Johnny. Okay. I had to make more money to serve my family, to do my duty as a father and a husband, and you know, a son and a brother. I didn't know anything else because I knew that if I wanted to make money, I had to put in effort. And my effort, direct proportion in equals direct proportion out, if I'm smart, right? So here was an opportunity where I could do that. And if a really, really great job came there that was going to pay me the same type of money, would I have taken it? I don't know, maybe. But I'm glad I didn't because it formed who I am today. The ability to go out there and do something for yourself, and even if you earn a little bit less, it gives you that freedom. Right? And when you taste that freedom, it's difficult to go back to anything different. But at the same time, I've served, you know, beautiful companies who have rewarded me very highly, and I'm thankful for that, right? So it's up to the individual, and in time, you may do one, and you may do another in a different time. Ideally, the advice I give my boys, and both of them actually work for people at the moment, which is fine because they're going to learn from them, they're going to shape them, they're going to build networks, they're going to build skill sets, and they're going to take it into where they go. Any advice I give a young person is go work for yourself, fail, you know, get up. It's not a failure, it's a learning. It's paid education, right? You know what I mean? It's paying you to learn. Who cares? Sometimes you've got to pay a little bit too. What's the difference between going to uni and paying 40 grand a year and then going doing something for yourself and really learning?
Yeah. You're big on education though, aren't you?
Massively big on education, yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get a chance immediately after school to go to university. As a matter of fact, I didn't really get enough marks to get into uni,
yeah.
Right? Because I was playing around with your cousin.
You hear that a lot, though. Like, you look at like a lot of the, you know, the Steve Jobs story, you know, he never finished. Elon Musk never finished. You look at a guy like now, Gary Vaynerchuk, never went to school. You hear a guy, old philosophers like Alan Watts is a guy I really listened to a lot. He passed away in the 70s. He talks about, imagine if we could take that 7-year-old who wants to be an astronaut and harness that at 7 and start building from that rather than saying, just hey, 7-year-old, just wait till you're 10. Just wait till you're 15. Just wait till you're 18. That sort of thing. What side of the fence do you fall on that?
Look, education is very important, okay? Applicable education is wisdom, okay? You can have a lot of certificates on your wall, and my wife's a highly intelligent lady. She's got CPA, that, this, accountant qualification, etc. I have a few myself, and of course the boys both have their masters, so you can see that I believe in education. But education that you can apply, right, is more important. And sometimes you don't have to have an accredited piece of education from a university to have actually learned something. You may have learned nothing but to pass exams. That's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a tragedy, but it's also a gift because you know how to pass exams, okay? So you'll get very, very quickly understand that I'm somebody who's able to extract the goodness out of most situations. And if you can do that, then geez, your life's going to be fulfilled. So education can be listening to this podcast. You guys have released some amazing podcasts.
Thank you.
I listened to this one with Ryan
Blair.
It's probably one of your better ones that I've enjoyed, okay?
From rock bottom to rock star. Yeah.
But real.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Real.
He's a real guy.
Be careful of flowery words of the scriptures or the men that speak it. But when people come with substance and they felt pain, okay, that's when you know they've learned. And pain is actually pleasure, right?
Mm.
What an oxymoron, right? But if you give yourself that opportunity to go through that, then aren't you really living? If it's all smooth sailing, it's boring, isn't it?
It is pretty boring.
So educate yourself, yes, but there's multiple ways to educate yourself. If someone says, I couldn't afford to go to uni, that's why I suck at life. No, you suck at life because you have a shitty attitude. But the beauty is you can change that attitude anytime. Improve your self-talk, get greater compassion for yourself, sit down every morning at 4 a.m. and learn to breathe properly and meditate properly and chant properly, right? The answers have all come before us. There's many, many whys that have come before us. It's about absorbing one step at a time. Forward, 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 forward. What's the destiny anyway? Who knows until you answer the question, who am I? Where did I come from? Freaky questions, right? But think about it. When you're meditating in that tank of yours, Johnny, think about that, right? And when you think about that over and over and over again, then the light will spark and you will look after and go for the right knowledge.
Yeah, I think about that quite often, though. Like, not even like when you say, where do I come from? Where do you come from? It's almost, before I would think about it as like a place, or like, then it went from like a specific region of the world to like really like, all right, hold on. Let's talk about existentialism. Like, where the origin of that and the, or, you know, there's a, do you know much about Lawrence Krauss?
Tell me.
Lawrence Krauss, man, he's a metaphysicist. He's also a professor at Arizona State University, and his new book is on the gauge theory. Now, I am not accredited to even be speaking on this sort of thing, but I'm just using Lawrence's name as a reference. Guys like himself, and you have Richard Dawkins, who's an evolutionist, and you have Neil deGrasse Tyson, and you mentioned about education and learning. There are and the wisdom that's come before us, and everyone listening at home, there's no reason for us to not be inquisitive and ask those questions. But when you are alone in the tank or meditation, I think people have a problem with not having the answers sometimes, and it's okay to not know, right? You know, especially if you're living your life and you're going down that the path from within, the authenticity thing, the original part, it's good. You don't need to know.
That's really wise. And the more you realize that you don't know, okay, the more you realize you don't know, the more you absorb, the more you suck in and make yours when you're in the presence of someone who is wise. A guru then becomes someone who will enlighten you, whether it be in business, whether it be in spirituality, whether it be in anything, you know, training, right?
Mm.
Then you take on that piece of education. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So whether you pass an exam or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is what have you taken on and incorporated. I love experimenting with what I call the truth. I borrowed that from Mahatma Gandhi years ago when I was a young fellow. I read his book, Experiments, My Experience with the Truth. And he's quite quirky, this guy, right? He liberated a billion people, but he's quirky as, right? And he experimented with these philosophies and methodologies in the Vedic texts and the Christian texts and, you know, He until he made his own opinion of things, right? And when I go back to your pods, for instance, okay, and I see just how much effort you put in and your guests that volunteer their time and come in and share generously, I just want to see everyone listening to it take it on, or at least say, hey, guys, thanks for sharing that. Let me share that with my child. Hold the pride back, the ego back. Right, because that's what happens. People these days can do a lot more with sharing, right? So I know you didn't ask me this question, but I'll go into it because it's fresh in my mind. There are three different types of people, right? I'm not too sure who actually said that initially, but I heard it through one of our guests, Manish Barbara. There are three different types of people, right? And it really resonated with me.
Mm.
There's the people who take right? They just take, they don't give back. There's the ones, hey, Tristan gave me that, I'll give him this, right? Or I gave him that, oh, he hasn't given me anything back.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they're the givers. They give, they share. And guess which type has the most fulfilled life at the end of the day?
For sure, the givers.
One, the givers.
Givers gain.
100%, right?
Yeah.
So I ask people, listen to these guys' podcasts, listen to the knowledge bombs they share, right? Because they're giving it out of generosity. And be generous. Share that with your own child. Let them learn. Let them prosper from it, right? Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Thanks, Ro. Oh, I
appreciate that, Ro. That's awesome. Thanks so much, Ro. Hey, Ro, just touching on what you were saying before, obviously, like finding your why, kind of finding your purpose in life. What age were you when you found that for yourself?
Really tough question. Here's the deal. Ever since I can remember, I've always asked the question, you know, those questions about, like, why are we here? Like,
yeah.
Why are people born? Like, you know, what's the purpose? Is it really to just get this title and then, you know, like to make this money and then, but I'm going to leave it behind.
Mm.
Is it so that I can leave it for my kids? But then what if it spoils them and ruins them? So I don't think that's the answer. So that made me curious. Right, and I was about 25, 26. I was in Adelaide. I had a whole heap of gyms. If you remember, I had the rights to this name, the Fitness First name, back in the day.
Hold on.
Right?
What? Yeah. Do you own gyms?
Well, I had promotions, so I'd go in and take over the gyms, and then I'd promote them. We had about 36 of them when I was between 25 and 30 odd. Mm. Me and a partner of mine. And I remember catching this train. It's actually a tram from Glenelg to Adelaide City. If you've been to Adelaide, you know there's not much.
City churches.
I became a reader, okay? Mm. And since then, I've enjoyed reading, but I only read certain types of books. And I became more curious and more curious and more curious. And then I just took myself off, and as you know, I've climbed mountains and, you know, with my wife Kim, etc. Yeah. But before then, I used to take myself away to really learn how to meditate properly and learn how to dive deep into the lessons from people that came before me. So it's still a process.
Yeah.
It's still a process, but I think I've got it. And it came to me about, I'd say 5-6 years ago, and then really came home to me when I was stuck on Everest at base camp, and I thought I was going to die, and then, you know, with this massive blizzard coming and hitting me everywhere, and I'm stuck there, me and my Sherpa, this young boy. I'm looking at him in the eye, and I'm thinking, oh man, I can't let this kid stay here. I'm the one that's suffering.
Yeah.
I hadn't eaten in 8 days or so, right? But I had to make it to that point. And then all of a sudden, I'm feeling this absolute bliss. Thinking there's no thoughts of dying or regrets or anything like that, and this beautiful pheasant, brown pheasant, flies in and just lands up there. Massive blizzard, man. Like 18 Sherpas died the day before.
Yeah.
18 Sherpas had just died before us, right? Just I don't know, less than 24 hours before where we were at, just we could see that point. And then this little bird is just going, I'm thinking to myself, like, what's over here in this terrain you could be eating? I still don't know to this day whether that bird was real or it wasn't, okay?
Yeah.
But what it did is gave me a surge. And quite a few hours later in the dark, as it was getting dark, because it was just, you couldn't see anything, but apparently it was still sun out. Mm. You know, I see my wife now running towards me. And I got a bit emotional.
So you mentioned when the pheasant is landing and the bliss that came upon you. There's a recent study on happiness. Harvard released it, I think, a year ago. And I brought it up a few different times on our show about what they did was they were measuring the levels of happiness. And the one example that they used was that you never look at your buddies and say, hey, do you remember that time we went to the amusement park and we rode that roller coaster? That loop-de-loop was really fun. We were really happy there. It's always like the highest level always contains some sort of suffering. Hey, do you remember when we went to climb that mountain and we almost died? and that level of happiness. I just feel that's a proper way to segue. I'm really interested in the happiness platform and this project of yours and this vision of yours. And with our fans listening at home and yours listening, could you share what that is and what your intent with that platform is?
You know, when your children, when you're going through stuff and you know that doesn't matter what happens, I have this grit, this ability to get up and have a positive psyche, and you know, I can be whoever I want to be, I can get whatever I want to get. When it's built into you, you just kind of think that everyone's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your children start to get to an age where they start comparing themselves to you to a level, and you're looking at them going, wow, man, at that age, you are so far ahead of where I was. I didn't even have a uni degree.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have something to shoot for. You didn't have that.
Right? But then when I see that the world is, you know, instant gratification, you know, all these expectations on the world of these millennials, that's why I say leave the millennials there for alone, man, because they'll figure it out. Right, it's just different timing, but there also comes a realization we're going to take ownership. So what I realize is that there's the minds of not only the millennials, the generations, my generation, a lot of the minds are twisted. So when I was leading, and what I mean by that is, anxieties and restlessness has taken over.
Mm.
Okay, so if you look at a recent survey done by Beyond Blue, okay. 48% of all people in the workplace came back and said that, you know what, their workplace is detrimental to their mental health. 1 in 5 took a day off this year. Doesn't matter how much time they're spending in your gym. They took a day off this year because they said, you know what, I was just mentally depressed. Okay, I couldn't handle it anymore. If you look at the age of death for the 12, so I think it's 24, 26-year-old men in Australia, it's suicide. Okay. Now, I've been a guy that's led thousands of people. 2,000 people was my last, you know, big thing.
Okay? BlackBerry.
Right? It was a Telstra. BlackBerry was more like 10,000 points of presence. But that was more through third parties. So you're still leading lives. Right? If you shut the flow of BlackBerries to them, their lives finish. Okay? So you're leading them even more. Okay? So I realize I drive performance out of people better than anybody I know. Okay, I will pull you, lift you, drive you, make you bigger and better than where you have ever been. And I used to love that fact. But now when I look back, I think, oh my God, how many people did I make a lot of money for but drive insane?
Yeah.
How many people was I not compassionate towards when I should have been? Everyone in my circle I was compassionate to, but there's ramifications of your decisions. Right, so I decided to influence boards, and that's what we do. We coach, and then at the end of that, while I was doing that, over the years I've been writing. For some 20 years I've been writing, and when I share this type of knowledge, people say to me, where can I read about this? I've got blogs, or videos, but they say, no, I really want to get into your mind. And you know, I generously give my time to coaching everywhere, right? That's just something I do.
Yeah. But
I thought, you know, I need to touch more people. So I developed the happiness platform with Kimberly. Okay, it's 13 critical tools, right, that anyone can go away. And within 3 to 4 breaths, doesn't matter how anxious and restless you are, Johnny.
Just dissipates.
Yeah.
Like right now, that one breath, okay, it just gave me this beautiful feeling of euphoria. It's possible. So the happiness platform designed for people to live outstanding high performance lives. Okay, it's got a lot of that sales and the marketing discipline, the hard work discipline, the grit, the grind, okay, the rest, you know, the absolute ability to get over restlessness, etc., positive psyche stuff in there.
Yeah,
but it's also got a lot of ancient Vedic tools, right, that Swamis won't share with you because it's meant for really the Brahmins. Okay, it's meant for the people who are to be priests, etc., right? Or they don't know how to relay the message in a simple way. You have to go. You don't have to go to Everest like I did. You know, you can have it right here. Right here, I can teach you this right now. So the happiness platform is really about that. It's about building outstanding, high performance lives where people are happy. Okay, they embrace sadness. Okay, when I say embrace sadness, they'll learn from it. it actually becomes, like you said, those joyous moments that people talk about was where they nearly died, right? Where they grew, right? And they just know that they have a role to play in life. And it's more about, from a board perspective and a CEO perspective, it's about first taking care of themselves. And once they realize and we can get them to that fourth level of consciousness, okay, where they're in touch with their light, who they really are, then they'll measure the success of their organization and their people a little bit differently. They'll consider communities, okay, and they'll consider the generations to come. Then they won't have to sit and go, oh, geez, I made all this money, et cetera, but my kid's fucked up. Sorry about that curse.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. We're on the E-ratings.
Yeah, that is fine.
Thanks to Tate Fletcher.
Episode 14 and 15.
You know.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Right, I've got a challenge for you now, because I know that chanting is part of the actual process. And I know after I went to your the big event that you put on, which was brilliant,
the happiness platform event,
that you started the event yourself personally, going through a bit of a 10-minute little thing about how you can start chanting. You took the room through it. Why don't we just do it now?
I'm happy to take you guys through it.
Let the people at home.
I've done this before. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, let the people at home.
How many people were at the event that Tristan?
Oh, there was about 80, I think.
So you feel everyone's frequency and vibration.
Yeah, it was actually wonderful. We're about to release that episode at the leadership show, or populous.com.au, under the happiness platform. And I know we've got a few brands going, but they're all important brands. And it just lifts lives. I mean, I'm happy to take you guys through it.
For everyone at home as well, they can have if they've never done it before, they can. Why don't you introduce what it is first?
Sure. I tell you what. When my boys, I relate always back to when my boys or my wife or my sister or someone is going through something, and you know they come to me and they're talking to me, or my mum even, right, who's highly spiritual, but mainly it's bhakti. So bhakti is one of the limbs of yoga, and when you go to church, you're really basically doing bhakti yoga, where you're bowing, you're surrendering, you're praying. Yeah. What people, and it takes them ages before they can get to a state where the mind's clear and they can pray properly. What this does, essentially, I'll take you guys through a pranayama and maybe chant the most powerful mantra you can ever.
And where are the origins from?
All Vedic Hindu.
Okay.
So the Buddhists have incorporated it. Many religions have incorporated this stuff. Okay. So essentially, this is the breath that I try and teach those that are loved. My wife cracks the shits with me sometimes because when I'm working away and I'm managing multiple things, she's in a different office and I'm a different office, and she'll hear this hissing sound. She'd be like, isn't it enough? You do it in the morning. Okay, the whole idea.
Hi, Kim.
So it's the Ujjayi breath, right? It's a really simple technique. And when people say to you, concentrate on your breathing, on your meditation, it's important to learn firstly how to breathe properly. Then you get to this state of meditation where you don't have to concentrate on anything. Okay? And we'll just finish off maybe with two little mantras, okay?
Yep.
So I won't take you through the 10-minute process.
Oh, we got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes? You want to go through it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Do you want to do 10 minutes on air?
Maybe add a little bit of value to the people listening, I reckon.
Yeah, well, look, let me take you through. And people can. I'll tell you the number of reps, et cetera, and again, it's on the happiness platform.
And they can join in?
And they can join in. But I'll teach you the simple technique, okay? And I'll teach you two different techniques and two different mantras, right?
Yeah.
Cool? And when I say these two different techniques, two different mantras, they're from two different elements or the tool sets from the happiness platform. One's called the pranayama. Prana means life force, okay? And each one of us is born with a certain number of breaths.
Wow.
Wow. Read the book.
That's beautiful. That's okay? Awesome.
And when you get anxious, what happens? You take more breaths.
Yeah.
Now, if you take more breaths, what are you going to do?
Shorten your life.
Johnny Stofko, I love you.
Come on, Ro. You know I'm here.
So I'm going to teach you how to lengthen your life, okay? Are you ready?
12 to 10 minutes.
So Ujjayi breath is quite simple.
Sitting down for the people listening at home?
You sit down in a comfortable chair. If you can, if you know how to do the warrior stand sitting down, that's fine. But let's just sit down. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is, firstly, I'm going to teach you how to breathe, right? So you're going to concentrate on the hissing, and it's a little bit of a cooling sensation you're going to feel in your throat, okay? It takes a little bit of practice, so be patient with yourself. So it's a bit like... Get your boys to try. The average person takes about 13 to 16 breaths. When you're anxious, you take 26 or so breaths.
Are you breathing through the nose?
Ah, is it
through your nose? That wasn't diaphragmatic breathing.
It was through your nose, or was it through your throat? It's actually through your throat, but it feels like it's neither through your throat or through your nose.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like... Oh, don't try it. Yeah, yeah. Hold it. And it should be pleasing, so it's like...
In through the mouth, out through the mouth.
Yeah, but your mouth is shut, right? It's coming from the bottom of your throat. Yes. So this time we're going to breathe in for six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Hold. One, two, three, four, five, six. Exhale. Four, five, six, seven, eight. Hold. Breathe in. Hold and then exhale. Breathe in. Just more softer. Like that. Stay as relaxed as you can when you're doing this, boys, okay?
Out and then on the way in, I'm still struggling a little bit.
So slow this watch.
It's definitely slowed everything down. Everything is at a slower pace.
The lights have kind of dimmed.
The lights have dimmed, and there's a guy who preaches. I've done a retentive breathing exercise similar to this, to where it's not. It's more like, and then deep in, and did that for 30. But this is a totally different feeling. This is more like. Yeah, meditative. How are you timing yourself? Is it the six count in each time? I'm sure a guy like you, you don't even have to count. It's part of your system.
I don't count. I've got it down to 2 to 3 breaths per minute.
I feel lighter. Man, seriously, like an hour in the tank takes, you know, you feel like the bricks are off you, transparent. I feel like that after just like 2 minutes. Is this a technique you do before you go on stage, before when you're having stresses? Is this in your routine?
4 a.m.
Yeah, when do you 4 use it?
So I use asanas. I do my... stretches, okay, my postures. Then I'll do...
Okay.
it's one stage, I'll do eight of those. Then I'll do eight up here. Okay.
What is it called for the people listening to spell it, like this form of?
Ujjayi.
How do you spell it?
Ujjayi. Happinessplatform.com.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you know Jack Kornfield?
No, but let me show you the third one. Okay.
Let's see. It's up. Hands over the head.
Okay. Hands over the head next to ears, hands close to the ears. You do six of those.
Same way.
Same way. On your
back
of the deltoids, right? Still got the terminology that way.
It's much more difficult.
Of course it is. That's why I do six, my friend.
Wow, I really feel so much tension in my spinal column dissipating as well.
I actually prefer that one.
Decompression. You like the tough
stuff anyway. I struggled on the first one.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Guys, for everyone at home, if obviously you're listening on audio, we'll also have that on a small video on both YouTube. I'm sure that Ro probably uploaded onto his as well. So we'll have that in the show notes for you where you can find that. But I think that's some serious, powerful stuff. It made me, like Johnny just mentioned, the lights were dimmed. You felt a little bit more relaxed.
Way more relaxed. And see, I've never done that before. I've never experienced that, especially, in this environment. That was awesome. I've experienced, though, like a group chant with about 200 of us. And we did the, frequency.
It's amazing.
I'm almost like, sometimes I talk about I crave the stillness of the desert. Like the desert has this crazy deafening noise. And when I think about that time of chanting, that frequency, everyone, it's almost addictive.
It is. And what happens is when you get multiple peoples of the same vibration or warm, your whole spirit lifts. Sorry, boys, I'm going to totally meditate.
Yeah. You're a
bit chilled out.
Taking the vision board to a new level today.
So what happens is, there's three sounds to Om. A is R, U is obviously and M. A U M. Conscious, subconscious, unconscious. Okay. Wow. And the word Om is your fourth state of consciousness.
It means light, right?
That's right. That's your spirit. Congratulations. Okay, congratulations. Now, the happiness platform takes you to your fourth state of consciousness. I haven't shared that with anyone else around the world yet, boys. It's exclusive for the book, but you got it.
There you go. Is it true that they say, now there's five levels of consciousness, right? And they say only like maybe four people have ever, Buddha was one of them, Jesus was one of them, and there's a few others to get to that complete level of enlightenment.
Enlightenment, that's right. And we all of us are going to get there.
That's a beautiful thought. Do you think that that's a little bit altruistic, or do you really believe everybody will get there?
Everybody will get there, not in this lifetime.
Okay.
You may be born 100,000 times, and this life is really about suffering.
I like that.
Okay, so if you enjoy the process, you'll get to a level of tranquility. But let me take you back to what I promised you, okay, and finish. So the second pranayama is easy to do. This is your physical type of tough guys that love this, your cage fighters that come in here and talk to you guys.
Yep.
It's easy for them to get, right? Because it takes a bit of aggression out. So it's called Bastrika.
Bastrika.
Bastrika. Okay. Erect spine. Should be easy. Piece of piss for you boys. Tristan's got good strong elbows. I don't want you to knock me out, Tristan, so keep it close to you, okay? So it's just simple with effort. 20, three sets of 20. We can manage that, right?
Three sets of 20? I don't know, man.
Let's do it, boys. Ready?
Ready?
I apologize to everyone listening.
Right. So at the end of that, two more sets, and then what we're going to do is we're going to do your warm, and we're going to do it together.
All right.
Okay. Praying hands, breathing in. Om. Atta Savitur Varenyam Bargo Devasya Dimahi Teyo Yona Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Rose Singh, that was awesome.
Yeah, buddy,
that was a first. Now, what is that whole experience called, what you took us through, that last bit?
So what you did is you heard the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is what you hear, basically. If you're in India, very early in the morning as the sun rises, you'll see people walk up to a little plant. It's called a Tulsi plant. And then they'll chant this. It's basically a chant of, "Oh Lord, let my meditation be in the glorious light of Savitri. May this light illumine my mind."
Wow. It's powerful.
Beautiful.
The powerful Rose.
And the Shanti is what you should say before you go to bed each night, okay? It's Om, peace, peace, peace.
Right, who taught you this?
Well, I was lucky. I was born in a family where my mother is highly spiritual.
Yeah.
And so she had a big influence on me. And over the years, I've traveled a lot, and I've sat next to a lot of enlightened gurus and swamis. As a matter of fact, I've got a very close relationship with a couple right now. And, you know, we're highly, highly close to each other. Thanks, Johnny. I'm a little bit meditative.
We don't want to miss this.
Chill. So, yeah, a lot of his personal experiments with the truth. Experimented with these. I've gone off on retreats with different groups, like really authentic. And it's very important to find authentic people that really know this stuff, okay? It's like going and wanting to, you know, to grow the size of your arm, you know, and then someone tells you, "Hey, listen, you know, you should really be consuming salt." Okay, like, you know, what Franani did there for a little bit. Play with people's minds. But if you go, but he can also teach you how to do the proper curls, rest properly, okay? The importance of the tricep to make the bicep look bigger, right? The importance of having a good forearm, you know, the rest periods, all of that, right? So if you get a really good, authentic person that understands the science, has experimented with it themselves, those are the gurus, the teachers that you want in your life. And sometimes it takes time and effort to find the right one. It took me all my life. You know? And over that time, I found a couple.
Can you share who they are?
Well, some of these people you won't know because they're just
spiritual guys,
teachers.
Yeah. So not really guys who are out there, and there's some that do really good movements, like, it's Bhaktichari Swami does a good one, and Sri Sri Ravi Shankar does another one with Art of Living, etc. But you're not getting to the stuff that's out there. You know, it's like you see this whole bunch of Hare Rama, Hare Krishna guys chanting, "Hare Rama, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
yeah. Krishna, Krishna." If you're in that spirit, you're there with them, so uplifting.
It is uplifting. Yeah, right? People give them a bad rap.
Yeah, it's the Maha Mantra. It's pure living, right? It's hardcore living. And it's really, really good. So when I see the Swami, the chairman, who's my really good mate, 70-year-old, sitting next to me.
That's awesome.
And he's chanting, right? And we're driving down this beautiful coast in Fiji, and him and I are right next to each other, and we're just chanting away, and like totally, you know, nirvana. I could look at him, I'm thinking, wow, man. I chant that too. I love it, right? Again, I'm not part of the movement of ISKCON or anything. But then I say to him, "Swami, my favorite coconut vendor is coming out." I said, "Coconuts." And his disciples are in the front going, "What are you doing to chant him?" And he's like, "Ro, let's have coconuts."
It's a little, that's those little things in life that are the best, right?
You mean like the coconuts and stuff?
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, the richness of food. I mean, Kim's just done a whole chapter on food and eating the right type of food. And you know, I've varied my diet very differently nowadays, right? And it's about eating as much purity as possible. And it's about the you know, the energy that you gain out of each one of these foods. And you had nutritionists, etc., on vegan guys, this and that. But if it's coming, if you're eating food and food that's blessed and you're in the right mindset to eat the food, then the energy you absorb is a lot better. But if you're in the, someone who's cooking it, cooks it in the wrong mindset, you know, the energy's all toxic. You don't want to touch that stuff. Right?
Yes, it's transferred.
Totally transferred. It's the company you keep becomes so much more important.
Yeah, I like the coconut story though, because we're all just that little 7-year-old. It's a childlike nature, you know, being able to be aware in the moment that wherever you are in life, you're still just that little kid.
Look at Johnny Stofka. He's totally chilled, man.
Yeah, man.
You need to be doing this every day, Johnny.
I do. I'm very aware. Like, I got, like, just this week alone, I've had acupuncture done 3 times, cupping. I've had Guasar, and I'll get in the flow tank. So I'm very aware because I'm very high strung. Like, I'm not high strung as in stressed out, but I'm always on the go.
Johnny, three
minutes. I've always been like that.
Johnny, 2 minutes, baby. We had you there in the whole session. Oh. You didn't have to go pay.
The hair grew longer. I got the braids coming out. I'm going to start wearing the bandana in there. Get ready, Long Beach, California.
Boys, this is fun. Anything else?
Biggest, man. So how far do you want to, you know, it's obviously starting now. What's the vision?
The vision is... It's very clear in my mind, Tristan. Will it happen in my lifetime? I'm not sure, but men like you now will talk about it and absorb it in your life, and your children will have it, and it'll pass on, okay? This beautiful Eastern philosophy that isn't reserved for swamis and gurus and just special guys, you know, like me, who've been enlightened by it. It's for everybody. And why should you suffer with restlessness or anxiety or anything like that? Why shouldn't you thrive in life and live, you know, this glorious life? Because after all, when you get to the end of your day, you'll have this realization that we're all connected. And when you have that realization, that's when you move to a different stage, right? So it needs to be in every school. And, you know, I hear guys talking about this stuff. This, you know, we need to teach our kids to be stronger and this and that. But they do, because what we do is we teach them how to, you know, sit exams and pass exams, because some curriculum has said that if you do this, then you have this qualification, right? But they don't teach them how to breathe. They don't teach them how to keep a strong mind. They don't teach them how to love themselves and love the world and do service for the world, work for service rather than accumulation.
Yep.
Because that accumulation just drives you down even further, right? Okay? So, yeah, it needs to be everywhere. And the platform that we've built is certainly going to give an opportunity for anyone who has this inkling to want better themselves. That's where it starts, right? But two, if you're in a position of power, if you're a leader, no longer is it acceptable for you to say, oh, yeah, I delivered this great returns, you know, quarter on quarter for 23 quarters. So let me ask you, Mr. CEO, in that period, how many of your staff have suffered? How many of your consumers have suffered, right? No longer, believe me, man, in 20 years or so, it will be acceptable for a CEO to say, just got returns. And the CEO won't be able to look at themselves in the eye and go, okay, they'll just say, any machine can do that. It's not that difficult running a big company. You've got all these resources. And if you've got half a brain and you surround yourself with really awesome people, you're going to succeed. But it takes something special for them to go, I'm making a positive contribution to society. And I'm not betting up on my CEO mates, by the way. They love it. We have this chat.
At least you're making them aware, though. Man.
Well, the biggest thing one can do for themselves, right? I mean, as you know, you realize what you're made of when you have your falls.
For sure.
Yeah? When you get up in the morning and you keep going, you've got your vision board and you've got, where am I going to contribute in life, and you just get on and do it. It's the first step that's the hardest, right? Anything, it's cold, it's rainy, it's, you know, it's miserable out there, right? But we're all here. There's tons, there's millions and millions of people out there doing the grind. And for children, it's about for children to start to understand that the relationship between the parents doesn't end because they're finished. They're there. And for parents to realize that they're there for their children. And for the grandparents, I saw a study come out. Some great university came out and said that, you know, people with Alzheimer's, really old people, when they have little kids around them, it's amazing how much their memory comes back. And they go, wow, really? If we'd only followed the traditions of the past where we took care of our elders and respected our elders, they would have had that opportunity all along.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost my grandfather passed away of Alzheimer's. It's something that I read about all the time.
Yeah.
About degenerative brain diseases, and you know, if you do one thing right-handed, the one thing as a boy I've always been practicing is be ambidextrous, because part of that is one side of the brain just shuts down and it begins to atrophy. But with the movement with like the happiness, so there's a university in Chicago called Singularity University, and it's basically young adults going into the world empowered with service to others. And there was this really popular speech by Jim Carrey, the comedian and world famous movie star. Have you seen this?
Yeah, definitely.
When he talks about service to others is the greatest currency there is. Is that sort of the mission, the vision, the intent, 100%. That sort of thing?
Go out there and do stuff, not because you want to get something back, okay? Not because you want to create a great app or you want to become this entrepreneur. Personally, right? Take what you want out of it. I'm sick of these conversations. I want to become a great entrepreneur. I want to make all this money. I fail so much, right? Seriously, man, tell me something that's original, new, right? Yeah. Tell me something where you said that, a whole bunch of lives changed. Like Munash Pabre, he went in, followed Warren Buffett's methodologies. He made so much money. He went and paid $650,000 to have lunch with him to say, thank you, sir, right? Okay. Now, what I've done is I've taken the money and I've started the Dakshina Foundation. So I started this foundation that empowers other poor kids to go out there and do similar things. Okay. It's about living a really true, authentic life, right? It's just real. It's the stuff that's been going around forever. And all we're doing is tapping into the wisdom that was there, because we're realizing we can't continue to invent new shit. Okay, just to look smart and sound smart, whatever. The real wisdom, and that's why it's called wisdom, comes from older people who've lived, so you don't have to make the mistakes that they make. This stuff about, I've got to make the mistakes to learn myself. Why? Why? You like running into a wall and hitting your head?
Yeah.
Getting bruises and bleeding? Why? So how are you going to learn? Surround yourself by the ones that care and love you, because they're the ones going to teach you. And who is it? It's your elders. So if you look at this Harvard study called the Grant Study, 268 men, over 75 years they followed, $20 million they spent on them, okay? And they came back, and these are highly accomplished individuals from all sorts of life. And the ones over that period of 75 years, and these guys lived to obviously 80, 90, okay, that were the most happiest, okay, lived the most fulfilled lives. There were a couple things that stood out. Number one, they had immense love. Right? They had immense love for who they were, okay? Their partners, they were honest in their love and they gave love. Their lives changed when they started to, there was a doctor that comes to mind. His life changed. He was a miserable person. He said he was miserable until he got married and he found this girl that's all full of love and awakened in him in his work. He hated all these sick people coming and seeing him, until he had this realization that he had this awesome gift where he could serve so many people, and he started to get his buzz out of serving. Okay, and the study ultimately, there was a third conclusion, so it's like love serves, was the ability to cope. Right, your girlfriend dumps you, okay, you're not married any longer, right? It's the ability to cope. Your job says, you know what, Johnny, I don't need this anymore, okay? We're going to have redundancies. It's the ability to cope with those. Yeah, you're sad. It set you back. But be thankful for the opportunity and to move forward. So it's the ones with love that did work for service, and they had the best ability to cope, were the ones that prospered and lived amazing, fulfilled lives. So go do that. I love me.
Knowledge. Well, a great way to kind of end. What we're going to do, we're going to go straight to the personality round, but that's, you've been knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb, Ro, so I'm sure there's going to be a part two, my man.
Yeah, it's like a workshop.
But, sure, Johnny.
Feedback circle. Yeah. That's good.
Fire away, man.
Okay, yeah, let's start the personality round off. Ro Singh, let's talk about advice to our listeners at home. when they have bad days, some things that help for you to overcome these moments?
Yeah, look, bad days, welcome the bad days. You know, just welcome the bad days. Say thank you, man. Now, I'm not kidding, right? Because without the bad days, how do you know what a good day looks like? One. But two, it's the bad days that give us the learning opportunities. But if you want to cope it, if you're really struggling with it, please just do those breaths, right? Prana means life force. Get that high levels of oxygen into you, and what happens? You lift, right? You guys say, what happens, man?
Yeah. You feel lighter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely
very much lighter, man. All right, a little bit more lighthearted, buddy. When you were growing up, what posters did you have on your childhood wall?
Posters?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man,
shit. Kim might find out something here.
What is it? Terrett Trendavi. I had Madonna.
There you go.
I had, you know, this girl named Sabrina. Actually, my wife looks a bit like her.
Teenage one?
Yeah, I love the teenage one.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Boys. girls, I can't remember.
Yeah, good boy. All day. Rose Singh. And then, Ro, if three of your closest, the people who know you the most, were sitting at this table and you weren't in the room, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
What a prick.
You know what? I'll answer this. He thinks he's a good cricketer. No, he's very generous. Very, very generous and very, very knowledgeable. So that'll be my three things. But me and Ranjan have a lot of funny discussions about him thinking he's a good cricketer.
You know what? Well, I'm going to break off topic here, because while we have you here, Ro, and for our fans who hear Tristan over 120 episodes, they finally get a chance to kind of hear something a little bit more, you know, personal. Could you share with us something that maybe you have learned from Ro, having a guy like this in your circle?
Yeah, for
while
sure.
While he's here?
Well, for me, you know, knowing Ro from being a child, and I've seen him through the highs and lows, through the struggles, like just having a son when he was 18, and then even for Vivian, when Vivian was born, he was 20.
Right? 20, yeah.
So for the, you know, he's kind of always been on the back foot, but always been a foot in front, if you get what I mean, because he's always put himself out there to kind of, he's never been one to be just generic. You know, he's always been pushing himself, and that's probably where I get my drive from, because I see him doing it, and I say, if he can do it, well, he's showing me how to do it, and I can do it too. So it's always been, for him, he's probably always been a great example, a very good father, role model for his three kids. And I just find it brilliant, the fact that, you know, for him, he's just had a newborn as well. Arjun's only, what, 18 months old?
Oh, yeah, so much fun.
And it's like kind of being born again, and I can see the life being brought back into him. So it's one of those things, I think probably through Kim as well, being around as well.
Yeah, it really helps to have... So when you pick your partners, make sure you pick a really smart, beautiful girl, okay? Because you're with them all the time, right?
Mm.
Right? So, one, you want them to get you, right? And you want them to have energy and challenge you, right? And you got to make sure they know how to cook. don't worry, I'm cooking, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And last question, Rose Singh. You're hosting a private dinner party. There's one rule: you can't invite any family or friends, but you could invite anyone dead or alive. What five people are you inviting to dinner?
Oh my God, no friends and family.
No friends or family, but they could be anyone dead or alive. They could be anyone dead or alive. We've had people in the past pick comic book characters. So
wow, I don't know about the comic book characters, but you know, I'd have. I used a quote of Muhammad Ali's today, and he was talking about spirituality, actually. Highly spiritual man. And it was on the basis of your thoughts. You know, there's just thousands. Okay, I've got an exact number, but I'm going to keep that to myself right now. Of thoughts that go through your head and each day.
Mm.
And I was looking at Ali. So Ali would be there, and he talked about spirituality and how it helped him and how he pumped himself up. I refer to Gandhi a fair bit. For all the experiments that he did, you know, all the ones that stuffed up as well as the good ones, I'd like to have a conversation with him. You know, you'd have to have someone like Michael Jackson there, wouldn't you? You know, get a bit of good music going. You know,
mm-hmm.
Bit of Bob Marley, maybe.
There you
Bob
go.
Marley, yeah. Bit of Bob Marley in there. And, Jesus, all blokes.
You're my childhood wall.
And, look, pick anyone else. It's just, I could walk, to be honest with you guys, I could just walk on the street and I would just invite anyone on the street. I just, the people are all just so beautiful and such, filled with so many good stories. And, you know, next time you just meet the guy on the street or the girl on the street. I've been fortunate to have a lot of beautiful women in my life as well. So it's very important. I didn't touch on that. It's really, really important that I've got three sisters and a half sister, and of course my mum and lots of aunties. For a guy, it's really, really important to surround yourself with the love of women, okay? Really important, because then you will not only just respect them extrinsically, but intrinsically you'll have this great level of respect, and it'll bring out your softer side of you as well. So you just walk. I could have dinner with anyone on the street, but I mean, those are the few people that come.
You owe us one. We're not giving you that. You got to pick one more. You have one four. More. You got to get a fifth one in there.
Yeah, let's get Madonna in there.
Yeah,
come full circle.
Lifelong dream. All right, guys.
Cut that bit out.
Guys, get following Rose Singh. You can find him Populous, www.populous.com.au. That's spelled P-O-P-U-L-I-S. On Facebook, they're Populous One. Instagram, Populous One, or Leadership underscore Show. And on LinkedIn, he's Rose Singh.
Yeah, hook me up on LinkedIn. Get to the website. It's a whole bunch of stuff there. You know.
Get your June newsletter. Is that correct, man? If they go to the website,
they'll get a whole lot of videos, as you know. They'll get... Yep. Tons and tons of articles. We pump out articles.
Yeah, that newsletter I got yesterday is filled with content. So, yeah, go to that and definitely subscribe.
Yeah, definitely. Hit him up on social media. If there's anything, you know, like I said, we'll put the videos up of the chanting. And if you've got any questions, obviously, Rose, your man. So,
Hook up. I mean, just send a note. I make sure I'm available. I mean, that's the other thing. Anyone that tells you they're not available, they just choose not to be available.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah, you've got a choice.
Got a choice. And... more you give out, the more you're going to get back, guys. All right?
Bro, see, you've been brilliant, my man.
Cheers, brother.
Thanks, man. That was awesome.
Thanks for stopping by.
Man. Thanks for having me.
And that, guys, was Rose Singh.
How are you feeling after that?
Pretty relaxed, man.
Yeah, for sure.
How good was that mantra?
It was interesting, man. You know, I thought I did something like that, like we just mentioned, but having it in that safe space and just the three of us was awesome, man.
Yeah, I thought it was something different that we could bring to the Vision Board audience. And I hope you guys at home, there is actually a video of it as well. If you're listening in audio format, I'll have that in the normal show notes. This one will be www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/sing, which is SINGH, and that will have a little link to our YouTube channel where you can actually just watch it off the page anyway, but I'll make sure that I have that little 10-minute mantra in there for everyone.
Yeah, it was definitely an awesome experience. I learned a lot. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to it. It's probably one of my favorite parts of doing what we get to do is learning
something new.
And, you know, some of the techniques and the mantras, man, definitely are powerful, powerful applications in our everyday lives, and they're easy to follow.
Yeah, guys, so make sure you spread the message, share it with your family and friends, show them the different ways that we mantra'd today. So I think it's a strong thing that you can kind of bring into your everyday life. And guys, we're just going to continue to bring the great guests coming on. BPAC, Ben Pekulski is coming on Wednesday. So Ben, one of the best bodybuilders in the world, a host of knowledge, and he just brings it, and BPAC is huge over in America.
Yeah, man, his body of work speaks for itself, both literally and figuratively. Intelligent dude, constantly pushing the button, you know, releasing new product after product, sharing the stage with the best bodybuilders in the world. Pekulski is a savage, and we're super excited to learn from this guy.
Oh, I'm stoked, man. Johnny, where can people find you on social media, man?
Yeah, guys, follow me on all socials, Johnny Stofko. Check the new website out, www.johnnystofko.com. Send me a message. Stay connected.
There you go. Jump on his website. I'm at Tristan Kennell Fitness across all my stuff. But, guys, also get your free ebook if you haven't heard that during the show. It's a great value, little quotes that continue to inspire you every single day. Johnny, I'll check you on Wednesday for Ben Pekulski. And in the meantime, you stay safe, brother.
You too, man. See you later. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts. So just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.